Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I welcome you again to this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. We have come through a beautiful Christmas season as we welcome the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And after Christmas, we welcomed the three wise men. The three wise men rejoiced upon finding the Savior Jesus Christ. They exulted. They were so happy that they gave gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the baby. And that was good news. They returned to their countries. They had the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ to tell everyone. Now I pray that you all had a beautiful Christmas season. And we are here today, as we are on every third Friday of the month, to pray for your special intentions. They always come first. Now, in my mind, I'm still in a Christmas spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm still in that little Christmas spirit. So we're asking for the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to intercede for your intentions for our brothers and sisters. You join us, and it's so beautiful because you're the church triumphant, and you're the church suffering, is the holy souls in purgatory. They pray for us, they pray with us, and the saints in heaven, the church triumphant, pray with us, and you're the fighters here on earth. That's what you are. So you pray for our brothers and sisters as we read their intentions. Now, we just came through the Feast of the Epiphany, and when I was younger, I didn't know what the Epiphany was. And I'd say, what is the Epiphany? What does it mean? And they'd say, well, it means a manifestation. Oh, I'd say manifestation. I'd say, well, what does manifestation mean? Did that happen to you? Let's look at both of those words. Jesus Christ was born in a cave in Bethlehem. The Church of the Nativity was built over that spot. It is huge. I was there a few years ago, and it was just unbelievable how large it is. And what you could do on that site where he is born, you can bend down, get very low, and move in. And you could touch that spot with your hand, or you could even kiss that spot. It's just so wonderful. Now, the only people who saw the baby Jesus, the newborn king, the savior of the world, the only people who saw him at that point were Mary and Joseph, right? His mother and father. And the shepherds. Now, they were all Jewish. They were all Jewish. They were part of the Jewish nation. And later came the Magi, the wise men. They were kings from afar. They were from other countries. They came and paid homage. They worshipped the newborn king. Now, they were not Jewish. They were what we would call Gentiles. And they came on a feast that we would later call the Epiphany, which means that the coming of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was now manifested, was now shown, it was now revealed to the whole world. The revelation that we have a Savior and a King for all peoples, for the Jewish nation, for the Gentile nation. The wise men came from different lands, representing different nationalities, different religions, different cultures, and they rode on camels. I love camels. When I put up my nativity set in my house at Christmas, it goes right across the living room floor. I have three nice-sized camels there, three of them. Now, they, with the wise men, trekked over 1,200 miles to reach the little king. 1,200 miles for those animals to go, huh? Now, my friends, when you at Christmas are putting up your nativity set, okay, When you place the figures of the wise men in your nativity sets, in your homes, you are actually depicting the fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, over 800 years ago, he prophesied the birth of Jesus Christ over 800 years ago. So as we begin today, we're going to begin with prayer. And our prayer will be the prophecy of Isaiah. Okay? Now, while I'm reading this prophecy of Isaiah, predicting the coming of Christ, see if you hear anything about kings or camels or gifts in this prophecy. See if you hear anything. I'm going to read it to you now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rise in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. We further read in Psalm 72, the kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him. Amen and amen. My friends, these scripture readings from the Old Testament represent the Epiphany, the manifestation of Jesus as Messiah to the entire world, to the Jewish nation, and to the rest of the world, the entire world. Now, in the New Testament, we see the coming of the wise men as written in the Gospel by Matthew. See, I quoted for you the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us that at the time of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, Herod was king. The vile Herod was king. And he heard there were wise men in Jerusalem, and they were inquiring about the newborn king of the Jews. Well, Herod wasn't too thrilled with that. He was greatly disturbed, and he asked his chief priests and scribes, where was he to be born, this newborn king? Where? And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. And they quoted the prophet Micah, who prophesied again 800 years earlier, from Bethlehem, land of Judah, shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Well, Herod had to meet these wise men, and he tried to deceive them by saying, when you find this child, report to me where he is, so I may go and offer him homage like you did. The evil Herod was lying. He wanted to kill the child. He wanted no one to be called king. The baby Jesus was a threat to Herod. Well, my friends, we know the story. The wise men left for Bethlehem. They followed the star, and it came to a standstill over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed. They found the child with Mary, his mother, and they prostrated themselves. They bowed in homage to him, and they promised, they provided him with gifts. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're familiar with those gifts, aren't we, over the years? Gold was a gift for a king. Jesus was a king. Frankincense was a gift that one gives to a priest. Jesus was the high priest. And myrrh was balm. Balm is used for pain. If you have pain in your back or pain in your arm, you put balm on it and it would help you. But it was also used to anoint the body of the deceased, of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb who would die on the cross for every person of every nation of every faith who ever lived. My friends, this is our Friday healing day of prayer, and we have prayer intentions. And with the Christmas spirit still in us, we're going to ask the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we're going to ask them to join us in praying for these intentions. And then after our prayer intentions, I have a surprise for you. We went through the birth of Christ. We went through the Epiphany. So where is the Holy Family? Where are they now? Well, according to the Christmas calendar, in the year 1 AD, they're on their way. They're on their flight to Egypt. So how would you like to journey with me and with the Holy Family on their flight to Egypt? Stay tuned. It is awesome. We're first going to read our prayer intentions, and we're going to ask you to join us in that prayer for our brothers and sisters. We have them. We have some right here. We have some prayer intentions here. We're going to start off with, excuse me, we're going to start off with Little Paisley. Little Paisley. Again, this beautiful child, Paisley, if you don't know, at 5 months of age, she needed a heart transplant. 5 months of age, a heart transplant. After being on and off in the hospital for a long time, she is now home. She's home for Christmas. And she celebrated her first birthday at home. And I heard from their friend Kim, dear family friend of theirs. She gave us some good news on Paisley. We've been praying for Paisley. She said Paisley is eating well. No more feeding tube. That, my friends, is huge. That is huge. For a long time, they couldn't get her off the tube. There were problems with the tube. They couldn't figure it out, and they finally did. Paisley's now trying to walk. She's starting to talk. It's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, all of our listeners. You were praying for her, and you were asking. I was being asked about Paisley. And I'm happy to report this good news, and we're going to continue to pray for little Paisley. She's so precious, so precious. Now, we have to pray for Paisley's mother. Paisley's mother needs prayer. She just underwent surgery. She had her thyroid removed, and a lymph node near the lung was also removed, and she has thyroid cancer. It spread to some of her lymph nodes. My friends, these are the moments that are hard for us to humanly understand. She was so into the care of little Paisley all of this time, the ups and the downs, the ups and the downs. And finally, she sees good news for little Paisley. And then we hear of her mother's diagnosis. Her mother's name is Josephina. And Josephina, the way we stayed in prayer for little Paisley and did not give up, we're going to do the same thing for you. Josephina, beautiful name. Nothing is impossible to God. And your daughter, Paisley, is a perfect example of answered prayer. Perfect example of answered prayer. And the same beautiful people, the listeners, our listeners who kept praying and asking for Paisley, are out there right now praying for you, Josephina. We're not going to forget your name, named after Saint Joseph. We're not going to forget your name. We're also praying for your doctors, that Jesus gives them the wisdom that they need to care for you, as Jesus himself cares for you. He loves you more than you know. Be at peace. Get your needed rest. Allow others to help you to care for Paisley. You may need help there. And your friend, your dear friend Kim, who's also a nurse, I might add. She's a beautiful person. And she will keep us posted about you and Paisley. You have a beautiful family, Josephina. And we're interceding to the Holy Family, especially our Blessed Lady, to hold you as a mother would hold you, and as you would hold little Paisley. Mary will be your strength and your peace, and we will keep praying for you. That is for you, Josephina. We have other intentions here. Let's see. We have Melissa. Let me put this here. We have Melissa. Melissa had a brain tumor. It was benign. And she periodically goes for testing. But she's very, very anxious when she goes for testing. Which is, believe me, who wants to go for testing like that, huh? Probably afraid of what she might find. So it fills her with a lot of anxiety. She said she did work before this happened, but hasn't gone back to work. Now, I don't know, Melissa. I don't know the extent that this has affected you, Melissa. I don't know. But the thing you have in favor is it was benign, and you want to keep it that way. And the testing becomes your friend to resolve a problem before anything starts. And if you fear that they might find something again, and you're young enough to have it taken care of. And prayer is an important part of healing. Prayer is. I'm asking for you to go before the Blessed Sacrament and just sit there. Just sit there. You don't have to speak, especially if you say your level of anxiety is very high. Just sit there on the Blessed Sacrament. The monstrance is on the altar, and the Eucharist is in the center, the body of Christ, and it flows out to you. It flows out to you, Melissa. You don't have to do anything but sit there. Let Jesus minister to you. And if you want to talk to him, that's fine. He's waiting for you. Nothing is more powerful than the Holy Eucharist pouring his healing rays out to you. Trust me. Find out what church has exposition. Even your priest friend. I understand your pastor, your priest friend from your parish. Okay? Ask him about that. Because you'll walk out of that church with peace in your heart. Maybe you can even take a friend with you. I can remember, I saw a book once, I don't remember the name of the book, but one of the chapters started, it was speaking about sitting in adoration. And the person who was explaining it said, they sat there, and they looked at the Eucharist and said, Lord, paint me. Paint me, Lord, you're the master painter. You know everything about me. You know my weaknesses, you know when I'm weak, you know when I'm strong, you know when I'm frightened. You know everything, so Lord, paint me. Paint me so that I may be what you call me to be, that I may shake what I'm going through. Help me do this. I thought that was so beautiful. When I read that, you're telling God, you know me. Paint me, Lord, according to what you want for me. So I say that to you, Melissa. Try to go before the Blessed Sacrament and say to the Lord, Jesus, paint me. Okay? Got that? That's beautiful. Let's see. We have these intentions just came in. I want to pray for John Sullivan. John is 32 years old. John has to have his foot amputated due to infection and diabetes. That is so, 32 years old. You're so young, John. You're so young. Oh, we pray to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Come upon this young man. He has his whole life ahead of him. We're believing that. Diabetes is not an easy thing. And I want to be honest with you, John. I want to share with you. I have diabetes. I do. And so many people in this nation and the world have diabetes. So we're going to pray for you for that infection. I don't know when your foot's to be amputated. Oh, of course, we pray that that doesn't happen. But if it's imminent and if it's going to be done, I'm asking everyone right now to take this moment, everyone who's listening, his name is John. Pray in your hearts for John, for whatever this amputation may be, that if it has to be, that he gets over it quickly and is able to move on with his life. I know they have things you can put on your feet to help you walk and so on. So we're going to keep you in prayer, John. We're not going to let go of this, okay? That's that prayer for John. We have Mara. Mara has cancer in her colon, which has metastasized into her liver. She has 3 children. Again, Mara, Jesus loves you so much. I know sometimes we question that when something serious like this happens, but he loves you more than you'll ever know. He's by your side. He has not abandoned you. He's right there with you through this ordeal here. He's with you. And 3 children, as you're going through this, I pray that someone's there to help you with the children. I don't know their ages, but I pray someone's there to help you. I again come directly to our listeners. They're so powerful. Kathleen McCarthy, the head of this station, says it all the time, that these people she has are such powerful prayer partners. They come through, and we're going to ask them to do that for you, Mara. We're going to pray for this, and we're going to pray for some beautiful, positive results for you. God bless you, Mara. God bless you. We have Janine and her husband. Let's see, Janine and her husband, Patrick. Patrick and their son, Neil. It's prayer for the family. I don't know what the petition is, but I don't have to know because Jesus knows. Jesus knows what this is all about. And Jesus loves your family. He loves the family. He loves the children. So Janine, Patrick, and Neil, pray for the 3 of you. I present the 3 of you before the Lord right now and say, Lord, whatever this is that they need, you know how important it is. You know what they need, how they need it, and how it's to come about. And I intercede to you strongly for that, Lord God Almighty. And I ask your mother Mary and Joseph, this is the family, the holy family, that we're interceding for this family, that their needs be met. Alleluia and alleluia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's see. We have Reggie's sister is asking for prayer. Their family problems. They're praying for forgiveness and reconciliation between a father and a son. And both father and son are named Joseph. Well, we know who to go for this, huh? We know the powerful, powerful Joseph, so strong. Anyway, this sounds like it's going to go on for a while, huh? So, who is the courageous person to go between them? Sometimes that creates more problems. It doesn't sound like these two gentlemen would go for professional help. I don't know that. I would like to advise that, but they may not want to do that. So this really needs prayer. And I'm sure both of these men feel they are right. They are right from their side. And also, we don't want this to get physical. Go to Joseph. Saint Teresa of Avila would always say, go to Joseph, Saint Joseph. She said he never disappointed her. And she founded something like 18 convents and monasteries. I want to tell you, she was from Spain. She had so much to do. She was a mystic. She had so much to do. And she had a lot on her plate. A lot on her plate. And she named every one of her convents and monasteries after Saint Joseph. That's how much he came through for her. So, I don't know, maybe you can have a family dinner, you know, not the small family, that's too close. I don't know, maybe a birthday or a little party where you invite more people and then invite a priest over. Just someone to enjoy everyone. You know, people want to see, when they see a priest there, they kind of calm down, and the priest is, if you know a priest at be open to doing something, just to be there and join the party. But of course, before the party, you and your friends who know this situation, pray for the St. Joseph before this party. And we'll pray for you. We're going to pray for these intentions, okay? Because you need prayer support with this. Because when you speak of reconciliation between two men named Joseph, you need a peacemaker. So let us know. Let us know what happens here. We have a lot of these intentions. Wonderful. Wonderful. I pray for the repose of the soul of Father John McFadden. Father John McFadden is a beloved priest in this archdiocese and all over. A wonderful holy priest. So active in the pro-life movement, he was going everywhere to save those babies. Everywhere. He was loved by everyone. Father McFadden was the pastor of the Presentation Parish in Philadelphia, and he was very Irish. Very Irish. Every year on St. Paddy's Day, he would have dinner for his whole parish. They would have corned beef and cabbage and all that good Irish stuff, see. Now, he would ask me to give a concert. Now, they had Irish decorations and everything. And he asked me to give a concert for them. And we would get a kick out of the fact that he had everything Irish. And he would ask me, an Italian singer, to sing Irish songs. And it was wonderful. I did Tura, Lura, Lura. I could do those things, okay? Well, Father, you are greatly missed. Eternal rest granted to you. Let perpetual light shine upon you. May your soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Amen. The church was packed for his funeral, and I could understand why. I could understand why. We have Dina. She's the mother, young mother of two, needs surgery, but she only weighs 70 pounds. Now, I don't know what condition she has, what health issue it may be. Okay? It may not be what we all think. If someone's lost weight, they have this other problem, you know. But we don't know. And we pray for the wisdom for the doctors, that they feel she needs surgery. They probably know the risks. And I also pray that she has someone care for those two beautiful children. I don't know their ages. Somehow we'll try to find, for whoever gave us this intention here, to find out what you are facing, Dina. But be assured of our prayers. I'm asking the Holy Family, for your beautiful family, to intercede for you, especially for the Blessed Mother to hold you, Dina, and assure you that you are in good hands, and Mary will carry you through this. She will carry you through this. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows exactly. Even if we don't, Jesus knows exactly what you need, how to give it to you, how you to draw you closer to him and to Joseph and Mary. Again, we have a family situation here. We have a few family situations in these prayer intentions today. So what I'm going to do is we're going to take a break now, okay? We have more coming, lots more coming. So you come back, okay? Come back. We have a lot more to share with you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture, where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
We're going to pray here. We're going to pray for Anne, for her family, for her children. Again, a family thing here, family and children. They are going through difficult time, Lord, a difficult time. And Anne is truly your special servant. I know that for a fact. She loves your mother. She loves you, Jesus, so much. She's always reaching out to your people who are in need every day. Well, the evil one does not like people who do that. And the evil one will do everything he can to stop them from reaching out to others and destroy the good they are trying to do. He loves to make them lose heart. Well, Anne, your family and you belong to Jesus. And I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no power over the Holy Spirit, so stop pretending. I call upon you, Father God, to envelop that family in your powerful arms. Heal them, renew them, raise them up in every area of your life, their lives, that they may continue to serve you in peace and with love in their hearts that you, Father, have given them. Amen and amen. We have one more here. I'm going to pray for John. John is my first cousin. I can't even begin to tell you all this man has been through. He is in Inglis House as a permanent resident there. He's been through so much for so long. He became paralyzed from the waist down from an infection he had received in his spine. And it was in him a long time when it was diagnosed. So he was paralyzed from the waist down. And then when he was finally getting better to at least go on a scooter, he was passing on a pavement and a car came out of a garage and hit him. And eventually he had to get his leg amputated. Okay, he's been in Inglis House, and he's supposed to have surgery on Monday, but what's happened? They're going to be checking to see if cancer concerning the bladder. Now, he has a temperature, so they can't do the surgery. Because, you see, when you're in a facility like that, there's COVID happening all the time, on one floor, on another floor, and the patients can't go out. They can't go out on the floors, okay? So he did get it, and then he got over it, and now this thing with the surgery. And so I just ask you, I pray for my dear cousin. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy. Everyone loves him, and this has been a long time in his life. I'd say he's probably close to maybe 60. Been a long time in his life. He's had a tough, tough life. I pray for him and his family, and Lord, we pray for complete healing for him. We pray. He's a huge sports fan. Even though he's from Philly, he's a huge Oklahoma fan. And we all became Oklahoma fans because of him. Anyway. So, we were discussing the wise men. They were so blessed that they received the message in a dream not to return to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. It's too dangerous. So he went back. They went back to their own countries by another route. And Herod was furious. Furious. They deceived. The wise men deceived Herod. So he was so angry, he ordered a massacre of all the little boys 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and in the surrounding areas. And of course, tragically, we know that as the massacre of the holy innocents. Imagine the horror and the fear of those mothers and fathers for those babies. Imagine the suffering the little children endured. You know, I said I was at the Nativity Church in the Holy Land, where the cave where Christ was born. There are caves under there. And there's also one in which a chapel is built there. And that chapel is dedicated to the holy innocents, the massacre of these babies. And they even have kind of like a crypt there that has some of the bones of those children from way back in the first century. You know, I mean, way back they have that. It's just so sad. Well, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream with the command, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, stay there till I tell you otherwise. Herod is searching for the child Jesus to destroy him." Well, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother. He left that night for Egypt, and he stayed there until the death of Herod would occur, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Hosea, another prophet who said this, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." My friends, at this point, I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you on a journey. We speak of the words, the Holy Family took the flight to Egypt. Where did they go? What did they do? How long were they there? Were they safe? Did they go with anyone? My friends, there is so much to say. So I would like to take you on a journey through Egypt with the Holy Family. There have been many paintings, icons, statues, mosaics done on the flight into Egypt, showing Mary with the baby Jesus in her arms, sitting on a donkey. I have one right here. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to pick it up and show it to you. Is this beautiful or what? Is this beautiful? Now, this is Mary sitting on a donkey. Jesus is in her arms. See that? Joseph is by her side. And I think you've been peeping at this through the program. I hope you've been peeping at this. Okay? If you notice, there's a pyramid. Look at that pyramid back there. And then there's another one way back here. See that one way back there? You see two pyramids in this painting. It was done by a Eugene Girardet. He painted this. Just shows them on that donkey. Look at that poor little donkey through the desert, okay? Now, I'm going to leave it here so you can continue to watch it. I hope you can see it. And St. Peter Chrysoglossus, that's a hard word to say, Chrysoglossus, St. Peter, tells us, "The town to which the Holy Family fled was 300 miles from Bethlehem." 300 miles. It was called Fostat, F-O-S-T-A-T. "And on the site of the house where they lived there in Egypt." Now, don't want to give you the wrong idea. They didn't live anywhere for any length of time. They had to be on the go in case Herod was after them. Now, they stayed on this site, and after they left that place, a church was later built on that site. Now, you're going to see that happen as we progress on this journey. Churches to the Virgin Mary were built on these sites after they were long, long gone. So the Holy Family was in the land of Egypt. They were in the land of the pyramids, the land of the Sphinx, in an area 1,000 years later would be called Cairo. Cairo. Okay, so they traveled to a place called Al-Arish. It was the capital of North Sinai. It was a city lined with palm trees and beaches on the Mediterranean coast. This city of Al-Arish has not changed. So what we see today, if you were to go there today in Egypt, you would see what the Holy Family saw 2,000 years ago. It's a beautiful depiction of the flight into Egypt. They went to a town called Belbes. The church tradition says the Holy Family took shelter under a tree. They called the tree of the Virgin Mary, or Mariam's tree. This tree later became a holy place of pilgrimages, and the Christians honored it because of the Holy Family, that they went by that tree. So what happened? Later on, they built a church there with three altars, one to the Virgin Mary, one to St. Michael the Archangel, and one to St. George. They then went to the city of Samanud, S-A-M-A-N-U-D, Samanud. Okay, now there, the Holy Family was warmly welcomed by the people there. In fact, there was a bishop in the 8th century. His name was Ambas Zacharias, and he followed up. He did a lot of the research for this kind of thing. And he gave a sermon that has been preserved. He gave a sermon about the Holy Family. And he said, "The Holy Family spent several days in the hospitality of the people of the city of Samanud." And he said, "The young Jesus blessed the people of the city. And Jesus said to his mother, 'There will be a great church in your name in this place.'" Now, it's interesting to note, you may say, well, wait a minute. Jesus was a baby. He was an infant. How did he bless the people and do all this? You know? Well, no one knows how long the Holy Family was in Egypt. It could have been anywhere from 3 years to 6 or 7 years. So Jesus would have been able to speak, and he was God, so he'd be able to bless the people and so on. And he said there would be a great church in his mother's name. Well, the church was built, and the church mentions that the Virgin Mary was sharing with the people of the city. She was sharing with the people. And what was she doing? She was kneading with them. She was kneading dough in a basin. Can you imagine that? Just picture that you were next to the Blessed Mother, and you both were kneading dough in a basin. Is that unbelievable? It's beautiful. They were also drinking from the water of a well that Jesus blessed. And then in the Christian era, a church was built again in the name of the Virgin Mary. It was built around the well in memory of her blessed visit to Samanud. It was a wonderful experience for them. They loved it there. Now, according to tradition, the Nile Delta was crossed by the Holy Family. They crossed the Nile River, and they came out to the desert again, to a valley famous for sodium, for salt, and it's called Wadi El Natron, the Valley of Natron. That whole valley was blessed by the presence of the Holy Family. Now, this is important. It became one of the most important areas of Christianity in Egypt, famous for its monasteries in commemoration of the Holy Family's passage through that valley. This is where Christian monasticism would first arise, and most noted among them was Saint Anthony the Hermit. Now, not Padua, he was a little bit later, okay? This was St. Anthony the Hermit. He was a holy spiritual man. And in the 3rd century, he settled in a cave. They seemed to do that. Settled in a cave in the mountains near the Red Sea. Now, this is what's interesting. When I was looking this up, kind of researching some of it, I saw something I didn't know. St. Anthony the Hermit, his feast day is tomorrow. Tomorrow is his feast day. So go to him. Give him your petitions. Tell him what you need. What you want. He's a holy man, okay? He established communities for hermits who became known, and you may know this, they became known as the Desert Fathers. They became models for the monastic life, especially in the East. St. Anthony the Hermit was a friend and supporter of St. Athanasius. Now, you may know St. Athanasius because in his struggle, he refuted the Arian heresy. That was in a long time, that Arian heresy. It denied the divinity of Jesus Christ. He wasn't divine. He was just human. He wasn't divine. Well, Athanasius was very impressed with the holiness of Anthony. Very impressed with him. And Athanasius also succeeded in destroying that Arian heresy. Well, Athanasius wrote a book on Anthony, and he called it the life of Anthony. Now, why is this important? It's important because if you wanted to get a life of the saints, if you wanted to read about the saints, you would go out and you buy a book on St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. You buy a book on St. Padre Pio. You would do that, right? Well, the reason this book is noted here, it says, it may be the first book ever written on a saint. Isn't that amazing? Now, after the death of Anthony, the monastery, St. Anthony's Monastery, was founded, and it's the oldest active monastery in the world. It's still active. And this was even referred to by this 8th century bishop, Bishop Anbar Sakarius, who was, I might say, also now a saint. Now, in due course, and I like this, in due course, the Holy Family reached a place called Mostarod, M-O-S-T-O-R-O-D. By the way, if it sounds like I'm speaking quickly, there is so much to say here, and I'm hoping to get most of it in, but in case I don't, we'll just pick it up on another program, okay? But there's so much, you don't want to leave anything out. Mostarod was called in those days, I like their name, Al-Mahama. Do you like that? Al-Mahama. And it means the bathing place, because Jesus was bathed there by the Virgin Mary, by his mother. And she washed his clothes there. In fact, on their way back to Palestine, the Holy Family stopped again at Mostarod, Al-Mahama. And Jesus caused a spring to gush from the earth. That spring still flows to the present day, and the residents of Mostarod still honor it. They still honor that. Wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus in your tour group? There is no water. He goes like this, and springs were gushing from there. It's wonderful. Again, we come to a famous tree in a place called Al-Mahama. I'm saying these names with my English accent. I guess you could tell. Mahama, okay? The district of Cairo, there was a balsam tree. You should see the picture of this tree. It has a shoot going here, a shoot going here, a shoot going here. They're all over the place. And the Holy Family rested under this tree, because all these things are shooting out, but then in the center it comes together and forms almost like a seat. It forms a seat. And in the Middle Ages, now remember, the Holy Family is in the first century, but in the Middle Ages, pilgrims would go, and it was the most visited place in the Holy Land, this tree, this balsam tree, because the Holy Family rested under there. It's known as the Tree of the Holy Virgin. Again, the Tree of the Holy Virgin. Here, too, Jesus caused water to flow from a spring from which he drank and blessed, and where the Blessed Mother, again, washed his clothes, took care of this. See, we don't hear this stuff about Mary. We knew she did it, you know, but this was a true mother taking care of her baby, her child, like every mother out there does. Look at your children. You do it home. You bathe them. You clothe them. You wash their clothes. It's Blessed Mother's doing this. And both of these places, in Mostarod and Al-Mahama, that's wonderful. Wonderful. And the balsam tree there. The balm from there has pain-soothing properties. Okay, it's also bathes the body of the deceased. Like if I said before, if you had a pain in your back or your arm, you used the balm. But Jesus, the deceased, he was anointed with the balm. It's used in preparation of scents and perfumes of which holy chrism is composed. Chrism comes from the name Christ, meaning anointed. So chrism is used in baptism, confirmation, ordination of priests and bishops. It's blessed by the bishop during the annual Chrism Mass in Holy Week. So as we're approaching Easter, the bishop in your area, he will bless the chrism, okay? To signify the presence of the Holy Spirit. He may even breathe on it to signify that. Now, once all that chrism is blessed, it is sent to the parishes so that when your daughter is baptized, your son baptized, or they're confirmed in confirmation, that's it's from the balm, from that tree, okay? It's wonderful. Now, this is interesting. Setting out towards Old Cairo, legend has it that the Holy Family rested in a place called Zaytun. You may know that name. St. Mary's Church is now in Zaytun, and it stands on this spot. Now, we're going to say here, I know, my friends, some of you know of Zaytun, because in 1968, thousands of people of different denominations, Muslims, Christians alike, witnessed the apparition of the Blessed Mother on the dome of that church. And it occurred many nights for months. And on one occasion, the apparition lasted over 2 hours. Imagine looking up at that. It's amazing. It was written up in the New York Times, and since that time received approval by the Coptic Orthodox bishop and by the Coptic Catholic bishop. Both said that Mary was indeed appearing in Cairo, Egypt. And if you look up on your laptop or whatever, St. Mary's Church in Zaytun, you will see the outline of a luminous figure of a woman on the dome of the church in the dark of the night. It is glowing. Thousands of people of all faiths are looking up at her. We follow the Coptics, their writings. They were so blessed with the Holy Family being there. We follow them to Mahdi. The Holy Family's, it's a suburb of Cairo, historic church built upon there. The famous Church of the Holy Virgin is there. There are three domes in the garden. In the garden, you'll still find the stairs leading down to the Nile River, where the account has the Holy Family traveling by boat to continue from Mahdi to Upper Egypt. The name Mahdi derives from the Arabic word, which means the crossing point, and the church is also called the Virgin's Church of the Ferry. So according to tradition, this would mean that the Holy Family crossed the Nile more than one time. Now, this is amazing. There's a passage in Scripture that says there would be an altar in the midst of the land of Egypt. Well, Mount Qosam is in the center there. And the Holy Family took refuge in a cave. In a cave they were. They stayed there for 6 months, the longest they have ever stayed. And it's the site of a monastery called Al-Muharraq. The cave became the altar of the church, again, of Virgin Mary. Jesus used to rest on a stone during the months he dwelt there in that cave. It's now become the altar stone in the church of the Virgin Mary. It's one of the most important monasteries in Egypt, and it is called the Second Bethlehem. It's believed this is where the angel appeared to Joseph and told him, end your exile. Return to Israel with Mary and Jesus because Herod was dead. It's safe to return. And that's what they did. And from that place on Mount Dranka, the cave chapel, okay, said to date from the first century, receives as many as 1 million. 1 million visitors a year. And from time to time, the Virgin Mary appears in luminous form within that chapel. Well, in the year 50 or 60 AD, St. Mark the Evangelist began preaching the good news in Egypt, and the Christian church spread very quickly. Egypt became one of the most important places in Christianity, and claims scholars such as St. Clement of Alexandria and Origen. However, Christians were seen as threats to the Roman emperors and Christianity, and in the 3rd century, the first persecution of Christians began in Egypt under the emperors Decius and Diocletian. Lasted on and off till the 7th century. Hundreds of thousands of Egyptian Christians were viciously martyred, executed, churches destroyed. one of the worst times in Christian history. But the suffering attracted new converts, and the Egyptian monasticism, the desert fathers, emerged from this period. Emperor Constantine and Emperor Theodosius, they put out edicts again that made Christianity the state religion. I would like to close by leaving to your thoughts these thoughts. It's the words of an unknown writer. The writer said, "The whole journey from the initial flight to Bethlehem to the return to Nazareth lasted over 3 years. The Holy Family covered something like 2,000 kilometers, 1,200 miles, their means of transport, a weak beast of burden, and the occasional boat on the Nile. But for much of the way, the delicate mother and the rugged carpenter must have trudged on foot, enduring the fierce summer heat and the biting winter's cold, suffering the pangs of hunger like hunted outlaws. It was a journey of indescribable agony and anguish, which the child Jesus, his virgin mother, and the sainted Joseph bore with inner joy and survived for the sake of mankind." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the journey you took with Mary and Joseph to Egypt is something we do not know very much about. You're a family in exile, and exile is suffering. You had to flee from the terror of evil men like Herod. You had to hide to avoid being detected. You traveled by donkey, oh poor little donkey, huh, over long stretches of land. There were no cars, no trains, no easy way to arrive at your destination. You were a child held by your mother, who rested in her arms as she sat on a beast of burden, and at times walked the terrain, the rugged terrain. Can you imagine? They walked the rugged terrain. Picture doing that. Again, I just kind of point you to this picture again. It's so beautiful. "For however long it took, you did not know the warmth, Jesus, of a grandparent's arms. And Mary and Joseph could not have their own parents beside them to help lighten their burden. They were isolated. They had to totally trust in their Heavenly Father every step of the way. And always hanging over their heads was the concern of being detected. Where would Herod's men be? Where would they next appear? Jesus, forgive us when all we are concerned with are our own comforts. We thank you, Mary and Joseph, for all of your sacrifices, not only in Egypt, but throughout your lives, up to the surrendering of your little child at Calvary, so that we could one day be with you in heaven. Thank you. Amen and amen. My friends, thank you for joining me today and sharing with me about this profound topic. God bless you, and pray for peace in the world and unity of all peoples. God bless you. Love you.